Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, let's turn to an interesting question in our statewide election. Who's pouring all that money into the ballot questions? Particularly question two, the most expensively fought ballot question in recent Massachusetts history. More than $22 million have been raised thus far by both sides. Teachers unions, including the Massachusetts Teachers Association and the National Education Association, have put in more than 99% of the funding for opponents of question two. And on the yes side, the single largest donor is a New York-based nonprofit called Families for Excellent Schools. It's donated $9 million, more than 72% of the funding in support of question two. Now, Families for Excellent Schools is a 501c3 organization, meaning it's not required to disclose its donor list. However, the group provided powerful support and advocacy to an effort to expand charter schools in New York State, as it's doing now in Massachusetts. The group's New York advocacy caught the attention of reporter George Joseph. His article, titled "Nine Billionaires Are About to Remake New York's Public Schools," appeared in The Nation magazine last year, and he joins us now from Washington. George Joseph, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So we want to talk to you specifically with what Families for Excellent Schools did in New York State, because that's it happened a year ago, and I think it provides an interesting template for us to understand what's going on in Massachusetts. So first of all, in your reporting, were you able to find out who the founders of Families for Excellent Schools are?
We weren't able to find out who the founders were. We know that those who are sitting on its board are both two Wall Street finance leaders. But there's a lot of secrecy around the actual formation and organization of the group. We are aware of some of the people who help organize things there. Unfortunately, the most important aspect of it, the money flowing through it, is all dark money. So in New York, there is very little sort of public transparency about who was pouring the millions of dollars that Families for Excellent Schools was deploying in its efforts.
Okay. Interesting. But you nevertheless were able to find out some of who the nine billionaires are that were referenced in the title of your piece for The Nation magazine. I mean, who are some of these billionaires?
So a lot of them are hedge fund managers based in Wall Street. One of them, Seth Klarman, I believe, is from Boston, one of the biggest Republican Northeastern donors, and is also involved in the charter school cap effort in Boston. He was one of the nine, but the rest were mostly from New York or Connecticut.
Hmm. I'm seeing from your article folks like hedge fund manager Whitney Tilson, who you actually set a scene at the beginning of your piece saying he's standing at a Harvard Club podium in Midtown Manhattan talking to a bunch of investors about education reform. I mean, what was his interest in education?
Well, a lot of these leaders believe that education is a good way to solve sort of society's longer term inequalities. And so it's not necessarily that they are having nefarious purposes in terms of their belief in the charter school system. It's just really perturbing to a lot of members of the public that they're using dark money vehicles to do this. And some believe they have ulterior motives in terms of the political gains they get from hurting teachers' unions.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because in your story, it was I found that one of the things that seemed to catch my attention the most was the overlap between the folks supporting Families for Excellent Schools and those supporting another New York nonprofit called New Yorkers for a Balanced Albany.
Super PAC.
Yeah, Super PAC. And what was that all about?
So it was very strange. You had Families for Excellent Schools. It's kind of a maze like it is in Boston, I'm sure. In Massachusetts, Families for Excellent Schools shared an address with a group called Students First New York, which is another education reform group. And Students First New York in the past shared an address with Education Reform Now, which is another group involved in the Massachusetts fight. And Students First New York had registered this super PAC called New Yorkers for Balanced Albany. And that was mostly funded by these nine billionaires that I discuss in the article. And while this sort of cluster of people were publicly pushing for charter school advocacy, In reality, New Yorkers for Balanced Albany was running ads upstate where none of these billionaires live, fighting tax increases, giving money to Republican senators and Republican races in order to flip the Senate, and in some cases, giving money to Republican committees that were then used to create anti-immigrant mailers. So there seems to be a contradiction between the Latino kids that these charter school supporters claim to be supporting and the sort of anti-immigrant rhetoric that they were more or less providing for with their super PAC.
Mm. And your reporting reveals that, you know, a couple interesting names. Hedge fund manager Joel Greenblatt, he gave $250,000, according to your reporting, to New Yorkers for a Balanced Albany. He's also the founder of a charter school, Success Academy, that's been spearheading Families for Excellence Schools efforts on the ground in New York. Then there's another one, Daniel Loeb. He gave $1 million to New Yorkers for a Balanced Albany, and he sits on the board of Success Academy as well. There seems to be some degree of overlap here. Now, were you going to just... I'm sorry. Were you
going to say that though there's a lot of secrecy around who is involved in Families for Excellence Schools, those sort of institutional connections you mentioned, that which we outlined in our piece, sort of provide a pretty good glimpse as to who is driving the group's leadership. And I thought it was very interesting that Families for Excellence School works in such close coordination with Success Academy, because Success Academy's big protests that Families for Excellence Schools was leading in New York at the time were actually mandatory protests. They bus students from their schools to protest to act as props in their campaigns, and actually told parents that they had to come, which is sort of unheard of in New York politics at the time. And in a similar vein, Families for Excellence Schools, according to a 2011 tax filing, had been paying tens of thousands of dollars. It was actually over $98,000 in parent stipends, which some have speculated were being used to incentivize parents to protest. So there are a lot of questions about the degree to which that campaign for charter school expansion in New York was actually driven by parents, or was it being driven by this big money?
Right.
And I guess that's an important question to ask for Massachusetts as well.
I'm curious about, you know, as you said earlier, it's not, I mean, no one's saying that, you're not saying, and I'm not saying that these people's interest in education is nefarious in any way, shape, or form, but were you able to speak directly with any of these billionaires and hear from them directly why they brought so much money and time and energy to the world of education?
Well, I think there are several reasons for why they're interested in the charter school model. But I think one of them is something we don't think about a lot, and that's just it's very good politics for these people. If you are sort of a right-winger in a political state like New York or Massachusetts, one of your biggest adversaries in the state house is going to be the teachers union. So when you fund charter school expansion, what ends up happening is that not only are tuition from students moving from public schools, traditional public schools, to charter schools, you're also bleeding out school districts fiscally, because a lot of the fixed costs of utilities and staff and building infrastructure are going to be remaining and not being allocated efficiently. So what you end up happening, what ends up happening are these underutilization crises where after a few years of charter school expansion, suddenly there'll be mass layoffs of traditional public school teachers and school closures. So what people are supporting charter schools, sometimes they don't realize that inevitably this could mean bad financial decisions that lead to school closures and mass layoffs. And so when you have mass layoffs, you're suddenly, as a teachers union, losing a lot of members who now have to fight for jobs in charter schools, which don't necessarily have union protections, and weaken the teachers union's abilities. So politically, for them, it's sort of a smart move.
And I mean, but as you know from your reporting, many charter school advocates would say that that everything that you just mentioned would be drivers for education reform and innovation, which they also seek. But let me ask you, I mean, there was an effort in your reporting. You write that Families for Excellent Schools poured in millions of dollars into New York State level races, and so did that other super PAC. And how successful were they in their efforts to expand charter schools in New York?
Well, what ended up happening was they were able to help successfully flip the Senate, which was a big deal in New York, a majority Democratic state historically. So they're able to flip the state Senate in large part by breaking a lot of lobbying records and in campaign finance records. And in doing so, the budget that ended up being pushed through didn't quite expand charters to the degree that they wanted to, but it got the ball rolling. The other major victory they had was that teacher evaluations were modified such that they depend now a lot more on student test scores in New York. And that's not really something that polls very well, but it was something that was a priority to a lot of these hedge fund leaders, and they did win that. So it was sort of a stalemate in a way. But in winning this Republican Senate, their agenda was further down the line.
Interesting. And all this, of course, is going on even as a court in New York a while ago ruled that the state was underfunding its public schools to the tune of billions of dollars already.
Billions, exactly. The state has refused to properly fund New York public schools since the recession. It owes them several billion dollars. And New York, if you look at it, actually has one of the most regressive school funding formulas in the country, similar to states like Missouri and Texas. So,
well, George Joseph is an editorial fellow at CityLab from The Atlantic magazine. Last year, he wrote a piece for The Nation magazine titled Nine Billionaires Are About to Remake New York's Public Schools. We have a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. George Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today.
Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
Well, we reached out multiple times and in multiple ways to Families for Excellent Schools. Their communications director sent us this statement. The statement says, Families for Excellent Schools is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to organize parents and their allies and run campaigns to change education policy. We've operated in Massachusetts since 2014, and three quarters of our Massachusetts staff are parent organizers. We're proud to be a part of the effort to lift the charter school cap in Massachusetts so that 33,000 children desperate for a better education can get access to good public schools in their communities. That's the statement sent to us from Families for Excellent Schools. We are seeking a sit-down conversation with CEO Jeremiah Kittredge. Look forward to having that conversation with him. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston.